You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis, and today it's an honor. It's such a delight to have an amazing man come on the show today. We have David Wood. David is a former consulting actuary to Fortune 100 companies. He built the world's largest coaching business, becoming number one on Google for life coaching and coaching thousands of hours in 12 countries around the globe. As well as helping others, David is no stranger to overcoming challenges himself. Having survived a full collapse of his paraglider and a fractured spine, witnessing the death of his sister at age 7, anxiety and depression in a national gong show, he has been overcoming for years, and he is here today to show us the difference between the polarities, right? The difference between having the structure and going with the flow, and how to actually find that alignment and also to listen to that intuition and use that to our benefits throughout the day. So it's no further ado that I want to introduce this amazing man to our show today. David, welcome.
Woohoo! Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm excited, super excited. So jump right in. Tell us a little bit about your journey thus far, like your why and what you do.
Yeah, sure. And I think that'll segue really nicely into the whole control versus flow thing. Like, are we going to make things happen or are we going to flow with life and be in the mystery of the moment? I had a tragedy when I was a kid. I was 7 years old and we lost my little sister. Mm-hmm. She was killed in a traffic accident and I witnessed it. I was there. I saw it happen. And I didn't realize this until I was 23 years old and going to therapy. But what happened is, as a trauma response, I shut down my emotions. Mm-hmm. And so I would, you know, inside, internally, I'd be skipping over like 10 different steps and just jumping to a solution. So I am very left-brained, very cerebral, very Virgo. Mm-hmm. And I got a scholarship. I ended up coming top of my school. So there were some positives to this, right? I came top of my school.
Yeah.
I got paid to go to university. So I had a scholarship. I got an amazing job, got transferred to New York. And at the age of 24, I was consulting to Sony Music and Ford and Exxon. And it's like, wow, look, you know, I've got it made. And then someone recommended, because I wasn't happy, and someone recommended I go and do a personal growth program called the Landmark Forum. Mm-hmm. And even though they all wore name tags and they smiled way too much, I thought, let me get in and get out. Well, they cracked my heart open. Mm. And also at the age of 23, 24, I went and did therapy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why am I breaking up with this woman 8 times in a row? What is going on?
Right.
And he said, I think you had a complicated grief reaction and I think I can help you. So I think around 24 was the beginning of me coming back and reclaiming my heart, learning how to feel, learning how to be raw, learning how to be vulnerable and open, which is the opposite of control.
Right.
So now I have this interesting mix. And then during that course, I had the experience of coaching someone and their life changed overnight from the coaching, and I was hooked. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. My heart's open now. I'm feeling, I'm making a difference in people's lives. So I quit my job. I quit, and it took me 8 years to qualify. And after 8 years of qualifying, I resigned as an actuary and I went into coaching. And that was back in 98. And I have never looked back. I just love coaching. So I'm an interesting mix now. People come to me because they want both sides of my brain. They want the left brain that can help them with their structure and systems and making more money, doubling revenue, doubling their time off. Great, let's do that. Mm-hmm. But they also want the right brain and the emotional intelligence that can hold space for them when they're really struggling, really stressed, really challenged in life. And they want to show up as a better version of themselves in the world, better parent, a better partner, a better friend, a better man or a better woman. So I end up straddling both sides and we deal with the whole of someone's life. I'm unwilling to pick one.
Yeah, you're holistic in that approach, and I like it. And you had your childhood experience to actually frame you for that, right? Because you shut down, your trauma shut you down, and it's as if you were, you said you're skipping years, is that you weren't present. You weren't in the moment. You weren't experiencing life because your heart was closed.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, thinking like coming to today, right now, this moment, I'm realizing I had a very challenging morning. And I think part of it is I have some PTSD, mm-hmm. post-traumatic stress disorder. My system goes on alert at the slightest thing. So if I'm in bed trying to sleep and I hear a door shut, even just shut normally, yeah. I'm like, what?
Who's there?
What's going on? I got to handle something. I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. So I spent like 30, 40 minutes lying in bed this morning, and I had a choice point, right?
Yeah.
Do I go with the control or do I go with the surrender at this moment? And I decided for 40 minutes, I will just feel what's in my body. And it was very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And that's the flow state.
That's I call that allowing. For sure. Let's allow instead of trying to stop the feelings and control the environment. It's one option. Sometimes you don't do that because you can't. It's too much and you have to go to the control. And then after I'd done all that, I was like, all right, I need to reach out and communicate to my new tenant about this. And I was so stressed about it. Like, how do I do it in a way that's not going to have someone be offside and go, oh, you know, you're being too much. Mm-hmm. You're being too much. This is, you know, this is ridiculous. My mind worries about all of those things. So I actually, this is the control side. I recorded an audio message and I didn't like it. I'm like, it's way too long. And then I did another one. I'm like, oh, it's way too explainy and whiny. And then I did another one. And I finally did like six or seven. So you guys are really getting an insight into my neurosis here. I was worried that it wouldn't go over well. And if it didn't go over well, and this is a new tenant, I just had a really bad experience with a tenant. And so once bitten, twice shy. But I did end up finally sending that message and I spoke my truth.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy. But I said, because I've been training in communication for a long time and I was pleased with the wording. I said, are you open to gentle reminders if I think you may have forgotten something we talked about? That's my first question. And secondly, what's a way I could word it that would be well received? Because I don't want you to feel like you're doing anything wrong. I don't want you to feel like you got to walk on eggshells. Like, it took me a while to get to all of these points and realize my truth. Then I sent it. Hey, now we get to watch.
Yeah.
Right. That's this back to the surrender piece.
Yeah.
I spoke my truth and now I leave it. Let's watch and see what the universe wants.
I had an interesting conversation with a friend the other day about this. Is when do you stop shoving it under the rug, right? Not actually expressing what you're feeling in the moment. Because when you do that, it really is hindering you. It comes back to haunt you because now it's just a buildup and you don't really get the proper expression. Because there's a very fascinating quote that says, tears are, when you don't express yourself properly, it affects the body physically. Essentially, that's what the saying is.
Oh, well, I feel my body relax hearing that. And I am realizing that I was very stressed this morning with all those messages. And then when I finally sent it, there was a part of me that really relaxed because I was addressing the issue. And this is such a passion for me. How do I pronounce your first name?
Luneed.
Luneed.
Yeah.
Luneed.
Yeah.
Luneed. This is such a passion for me. And I think it's because for years I did not speak up. Mm-hmm. For years, I didn't know what my feelings were. I didn't know how to communicate about those things. And so as I've learned how to communicate, it's everything. When I did the Landmark Forum, they said, if you do our third program, the Self-Expression and Leadership Program, you will be expressed in every area of your life. And if you are not, it will be an integrity issue for you. I swear to God, I did not know what that meant. What the hell are you talking about? And now I finally get it. Once I found what self-expression felt like, I have to speak my truth. Not all the time. If it's going to hurt someone, there's no upside in it for anyone. I'm not going to do it. But if it's something that needs to be communicated, I need to do it as a self-expression. And if I don't, I feel off. I feel weird. I feel awkward.
We're a bundle of energy. And so if it's build up energy, you have to release it. You think kids will want to play, want to scream, want to throw a tantrum. They have to get that out of their system. And we're the same way.
And I have a wonderful metaphor for this. And if anyone's watching this video, you'll see I've got a picture of my upcoming book behind me. It's called The Mouse in the Room, because the elephant is not alone. Now, we've all heard about the elephant in the room. You see it. I see it. No one's saying anything.
Yep.
But many creatures in the room are much more subtle. Yep. It might be my experience this morning of feeling stressed and do I communicate, do I not? That's a mouse.
Yeah.
Which can be named. Then I thought about sharing it and I get worried. Oh, she's going to feel like she's done something wrong. I don't want that. That's another mouse. Right. Those are two mice.
Yeah.
She might feel this and I don't want that, right? Those are two more mice. Mm-hmm. And then what was the next one I mentioned? Oh, she might feel like she's got to walk on eggshells all the time and that's no fun. And I don't want that. Those are two more mice. Mm-hmm. And look, I wasn't aware of all of these, right? The mice are often scurrying around in the background. The game is, can you get to your truth? Can you get to your mice and discover them and then decide if it's something that should be named?
Yeah.
And I think maybe 8-9 times out of 10, it should be if you can do it well. And the third thing is there a way to artfully name it?
How can we name them?
How can we name it? Right. Well, here's a way not to do it. This morning, I could have said, hey, I already asked you about the doors and I heard 3 or 4 doors this morning. What the hell is going on? All right.
Yeah.
That is being aggressive. That's being attacking. That's blaming. Doesn't usually go very well. Sometimes it will. Someone might cower for a while, but I don't recommend it. Mm-hmm. So the way I did it, I went very gently. First, I wanted to remind my tenant, but then I realized I have no context for that. We have no permission. We haven't even talked about that. Like, what if someone forgets something? So I thought, let's just go to the meta level and just check. Is it okay if I send you reminders? And how would you like to receive those? Mm-hmm. So I went to the bigger picture. I don't like that though as an answer, because that's not always what you're going to do. So let's come. Here are some practicals that you can apply to any mouse naming situation. Number one, work out what's bothering you, if there's something. And it may not be. It may be an appreciation mouse. It may be, I love how you did that. That was amazing. Or what you did yesterday may had an impact on me and I want to share. It may be an appreciation mouse. Mm-hmm. But firstly, what is the impact? And you know, we've already talked about it. I had to work out what was the impact on me this morning.
Yeah.
And then it might be positive, might be negative. What's your intention in sharing it? If you're going to name the mouse, what's your intention? Mm. And this should be a positive intention that the other person could get on board with.
Right.
So I could have said this morning, my intention in sharing this is so that you understand me better. And I want to be able to sleep in till 8:30 each morning. That's my intention. And my intention is to feel relaxed and safe.
Yeah.
Right. And if I shared that, now the person knows, oh, this is where he's coming from. He's not trying to attack me. This is what he's doing. Then do you have a request? And I actually have a worksheet on this where you can get clear before you go and name your mouse. Mm-hmm. Do you have a request? Is there something the person could do that would be a win?
Yeah.
And so my request in this situation would be, would you talk to anyone else who you got staying over and be extra careful before 8:30? Mm-hmm. And that front door, I think, might be the one that's banging. Okay, you know, maybe put a sign on it if that's what you need to do. I don't know. But work out what are your requests. And then once you're clear on that, then you can go to someone and ask for consent.
Yeah.
Hey, I'd like to check, which is kind of what I did. Actually, I just realized I did that first step. I asked for consent. I want to share something with you, but is it okay? You're even open to that. And here's why I want to share it. And if you, for bonus points, and here's why I was hesitant to share it. And I put that in too. I don't want you to feel like you did something wrong. Yeah. Right. So I didn't realize I did all those steps on the cheat sheet in that message this morning. And so you ask for consent and then you'll share whatever it is. When you did this, I felt this, mm-hmm. or I have a desire for this, or I want a promotion, or I want something different in the bedroom, or whatever your mouse is. Mm-hmm. And then the last step is, check for impact. How is it to hear this?
Yeah.
Maybe they have some mice of their own. that are emerging. How is it for you? Is it, do you feel offended, inspired, embarrassed, or something else?
Yeah, that's good in everyday life, really, right? In the home and with family, with friends. How can we apply that in the workplace when it comes to actually enhancing productivity? Because communication is a big key. You can never over communicate, right?
I don't know. I started wondering this morning. I think most of us under communicate. So sure. I'm encouraging people to err on the side of more is better. Mm-hmm. And if you're not sure, you can ask. Hey, is this too much information? I'd like to share about this. And here's why. Here's the intention. If it's too much information, let me know. You can check in, because sometimes it might be. Someone might not want to hear about it anymore. Yeah. So I think you could over communicate, but most of us don't. It's too little. And so my goal in writing this book with my co-author, Shayna List, mm-hmm. is to have the world share more. Okay. Share more, reveal your experience to yourself, and then artfully reveal it to the other person, so that ultimately we can be way more connected than we are now.
Knowing your intention too in communicating that is to uplift the other person, is to make them better as well. Because then if we cannot have conniving intentions of hurting somebody.
Right. And we're human. We're human, right? So sometimes we might have intentions that aren't positive for both parties. Good to notice. Oh, wow. You know, my intention is to make them feel bad. Let's just get honest about it. I would say don't go and do that.
Yeah.
You know, but at least work out, oh, that's my intention. Can I create a new intention? Mm-hmm. Can I create something that there's a win for both of us in this? Now you can come together. And if we don't do it, you're getting my story that I'm presenting to you, and I'm getting your story that you're presenting to me, and those stories are interacting like characters in a play.
Yeah.
But if we reveal the truth behind it, and this works for managers too, this works for CEOs. If you do it artfully, you don't have to go, oh, well, I can't do that because that's in a workplace. No, Brené Brown is proving to us with data that this stuff works in the workplace to be more real.
Yeah, to be more honest. Now, tell us about we want to talk about the structure and the going with the flow, especially in the morning and listening to our body and intuition. So tell us about your morning routine. How do you get up, dress up, and show up? Because I think it's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, we started with this structure conversation, right? Because you asked me about my morning routine. I'm like, I'm the worst person to ask for a morning routine.
Yeah.
And the reason is I am so controlling and structured in so many areas of life, because I love setting goals and going for it. And that's what I do with my clients. All right, set a goal and go for it. But there are two ways to get to that goal. One of them is to control it, for want of a better word. It's like, all right, this is what I want. I'm going to do these 100 actions to make this happen. And this, oh, that doesn't work for me. So I'm going to go and change that. Mm-hmm. And I did some control this morning. So with a morning routine, wonderful. We have willpower. Animals don't have this. So we can actually create our own morning routine, whether it's movement or laughing or, you know, you do a seance and communicate with dead spirits, like whatever it is you want to do to get yourself in a great state. I think that's great. The other way you can go is to wake up and navigate by curiosity or intuition.
Yeah.
Just wake up. What wants to happen? Apparently this morning, what wanted to happen is go outside, be with nature, and then communicate with my tenant. That's what wanted to happen. And after I did that, lo and behold, I was in a far better state.
Right.
So that, and it's weird for me to talk about this because I'm the structure guy, right? That's been my life. And a lot of days I will wake up and I will not even look at my goals list. I'll just say, what do I feel like? So for example, today I'm feeling an urge to go and audition for some acting gigs because I decided to get into acting 6 weeks ago and it's been really fun. So that's what I want to do. And I've been offered a part in my first film and they've sent the script over. So I think that's what wants to happen today. So that's an example of not using structure. Now, if that works for you, if you wake up and you find you're enjoying the state that you're in, great, go with flow. If it doesn't work, and you find that you're waking up in the first hour or two of your day are not productive, they're not feeling good to you, you're not in the state that you want to be in, you can change your state.
Yeah.
A lot of my acting training right now is in how to generate a certain state. I need to be able to generate sadness. Yeah. I need to be able to generate anger. Tonight in acting class, I got to be furious for the entire scene, right? I'm getting interested in how do we generate joy? How do we actually have joy come through the body? How do I generate gratitude and love in seconds,
right,
if that's how I want to feel? And that is where I believe a morning routine can come in.
Yeah.
You know yourselves, listeners.
Yeah.
You know yourself and you know what generates a great state. And if you don't, start paying attention and listening to Lynette. And then I've got a friend who just did an experiment. Every day he had to do something different, something new. And if it made him feel better, it stayed on the list.
Mm.
If it didn't make him feel better, got crossed off the list. Right? You could generate your morning routine in that way if you want a different state to the one that naturally happens for you.
Yeah. And then that's when you're bringing in the flow and listening to your body, because the goal of a morning routine is to get you in a better state, because we wake up sometimes anxious, nervous, or we wake up with the same thoughts we had yesterday, because we have 60,000 thoughts every day and the 90% of them are the same ones from yesterday. Right. So we're not generating new thoughts, which means we're not generating new feelings. We're not generating new emotions. And so that's why it feels like we're going through the day on autopilot, doing the same thing over and over again and not feeling any ecstasy or joy or pure happiness, because we don't know how to generate that. So I like that you as an actor coming on and you have to generate these for each role sometimes. So tell us, how do you go and get into that peak state per se, right? How do you get to that state of generating these emotions and keeping them long enough to be believable throughout the role?
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, bear in mind, I'm a student actor, right? I'm just beginning. I just got my first gig playing Dracula in a local production of Dracula. So I'm a passionate student. And what I've been finding is for anger, I've tried stomping. There's a procedure called coiling or contracting, where you like coil your whole body down and clench everything and get right down into a fetal position, and then slowly coil back out like a snake poised, and then walk around with that feeling in your body.
Wow.
So I've been practicing that. And also I might come up with an imaginary thing that this person I'm acting with has done that really, like, one thing that I tried yesterday was imagining that he had hurt my dog.
Yeah.
That would really get me. My acting teacher gave us cards to read when he wanted to get us into a certain strong state. And the card that I read was, someone has paid the love of your life $10,000 to leave you. And they did. I tell you what, that did the trick. For years, I've always worried, if I went into acting, how would I be able to be an actor if I was on set and they said, you've got to cry for a scene, and I can't cry? Because remember, I'm the guy who couldn't access his emotions for 20 something years. And in that first acting class online on Zoom, I was crying. I was devastated. And so that was a big breakthrough. Now, listeners, I'm pretty sure most of you are not interested in how to generate deep sadness or anger, right? You might already be good. Yeah, that happens naturally. So for joy, I'm still learning. I'll be honest. I'm still learning. He had us do this exercise where you stand up on your tippy toes and your arms go out and out and out into the universe, and you radiate and expand and expand and expand. And I tell you what, after doing that for about a minute, I was walking around and feeling very different in my body.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to learn more things. He also has us do this thing where we bring our head down and then we come up and inhale. Ooh. And then we do it again. He says, now inhale with a quality of joy.
Ooh.
And just, you know, I put a big smile on my face and I inhale. I can feel it now. I can feel a quality of joy in my body just doing that. So I do not come to you, ladies and gentlemen, as an expert in how to generate a state. I think Lunita is that expert. I come to you as a student and a passionate advocate of, if we don't like our state, two options. One, go into it, a flow, allow it. I did that for 40 minutes this morning, very uncomfortable, but I think there's value in it.
Of course.
To just be with it until boop, it might pop into something else. The other thing you can do as a human with will, you can change your state and take some actions. Oh, wow, I did that too. I realized after 40 minutes of it, I decided I need to change my state. So I got up and I went outside to see what was happening. Mm-hmm. That changed my state. It put me into an active mode. And I'm told that for people who've experienced trauma, that's a really powerful thing. Instead of just being passive, do something active and it changes the state. So I didn't realize that.
That is well put, because all the emotions that you emphasize and you talked about with anger, depression, and sadness and in feeling joy, there was one common denominator. It involved moving the body. In one way or another, it involved activating your senses, whether it was the depression, building tension around the body, getting into that fetal position and then releasing it, and the joy with you expanding your hands out to the universe and actually stretching. That's moving the body. That's why emotions is energy in motion. You're moving the body. You got to move the body to change your state. You got to move the body to move your emotions, to move your state of mind, your emotions. One of them that I know that will help with increasing joy and happiness is standing like a Superman with hands on the hip, chest up high, just like standing like your superhero.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that. The superhero pose or the superwoman pose. Yeah, I want to try that. I might try that after this interview. Just stand like that. I've heard you do that for 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And
you're not going to be sad anymore. You're not going to be anxious anymore because your body is feeling power. It's feeling powerful and the energy is flowing through you. So you stand stronger and you feel a lot more joy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just thought of just on the weekend, I had a bit of an anxiety attack. I've had anxiety for years. I had a bit of an anxiety attack and I was like, whoa. Okay, I don't like that. I don't want to just feel that. I'd like to change my state. And I got up. And I went outside and I put my hands on the earth. Mm-hmm. Within 30 seconds, I was great. It was quiet. It was calm out there. I was there with nature. So, I like this. Yeah, there are ways. I imagine listeners, you might be changing your state every day without even knowing it.
Right.
You go and grab some ice cream. That's a state change.
That's a state changer. Absolutely. Right. I just got back from camping with my nieces and nephew. And just going into camp, you know, feeling overwhelmed and stressed, coming out was zen, we're relaxed. Because we just spent a whole weekend with nature. We just spent a whole weekend hiking and sleeping on the floor and building a campfire, just being surrounded and immersed in that really just does bring that sense of peace. Because there's peace and joy in nature alone. So when you go out and touch the dirt, you're transferring that to you because we're connected in that way.
Mm.
So it's quite fascinating. And one other thing that I'm thinking that's easy, a great way to change your altitude, to change your attitude is gratitude.
Oh, yeah.
Being thankful, being grateful, being grateful for your book launching, being grateful for my family, my nieces and nephew, these little things. And it actually enhances, it gives you more things to find to be grateful for around you. And it just brings that sense of calmness, which is a cheaper, free way to change your state.
Yeah, I love that. Sometimes, like when we're upset about something, if we can find the gratitude, if maybe find the other person's innocence, that's a beginning. Mm-hmm. Maybe find our own innocence. And then if we can, I think there are some levels. There are some levels of life. So the first level, the levels that aren't fun, I'm against this. I hate this.
Yeah.
Right? That's the first. And then the first level of enlightenment might be, and enlightenment could be getting lighter. Mm-hmm. The first level is I can tolerate this. Right? I can handle this. Yeah. I can tolerate it. Next level is I'm totally fine with this. I'm neutral.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, no big deal. If we can get to it, this is good. I welcome this. Even if I'm now going to go and change it, I welcome what's happening right now. And then if you can get to Byron Katie's level, where she wrote the book, Loving What Is, I do believe that most of the time she is loving what is, not just welcoming, but how wonderful that you're breaking up with me. How wonderful. I hope you're so happy can I help you pack? She said that. She said that I would help him pack. Like, how wonderful if he knows that's what he wants.
Yeah.
Why would I want anything else? She can't even understand. People like, no, don't leave me. So, yeah, and that's the game. And it's the only game in town. Can we really welcome it? Now, don't do a spiritual bypass, as Katie says as well. Don't, you know, we might think, oh, I need to welcome this. I need to embrace it. But really what's happening is you're hating it and fighting it. Let's just be honest about where we are. Okay, right now, I'm hating and fighting it. Okay, that's where I am. Let's see if I can go and change my state, and then let's see if I can welcome it. Nope, didn't work. I am still hating it and fighting it. All right, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know, can we at least allow or welcome that? I am hating it and fighting it. Could I even find, this is a lot to ask, could I find gratitude for this state of hating it and fighting it? And as I'm speaking, I am listening, I promise you, because I think this is what I need to take on today. As my body does what I wish it wasn't doing, can I welcome that? Yeah. Welcome that with love, and even find gratitude for the sensitivity of this system, which provides me with so much.
Right.
Like empathy, for example, if I go into it, it provides me with empathy. It allows me to really connect with people. If there's an armed holdup or a big dangerous situation, I'm the guy you want to have around.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to spot what's going on.
Yeah, it's really amazing that once we allow it and accept it to come in, it frees up. It frees us up. We are free from it. Just allowing actually helps us release and let go. And so that really talk. And I like your topic about the mouse in the room, because it's those subtleties. It's those subtle things that we don't pay attention to unless we are aware, unless we're turning inward, right? To acknowledge.
Yes. Yes. And I, let me clarify, there are two broad types of mice, two broad sizes. There are the subtle tiny mice. That's one of the reasons we came up with mice, because some of them are so subtle and we want you to look for the subtle. But also, it might be a huge mouse. It might be a rodent of unusual size. Mm-hmm. It might, for Princess Bride fans, it might be huge for you. Like my mouse this morning was massive. It wasn't subtle. A lot of them I discovered were subtle, but me being stressed and anxious, that was a massive mouse. Yeah. We call it a mouse because the other person may not be aware of it.
Right.
That's what defines a mouse. An elephant, everybody knows about it and it's huge.
Yeah, it's like an elephant in the China room, right? You hear them coming, they're breaking and racking everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Versus a mouse where it's just sneaking away and then leaving an impact. I like to call those ants automatic negative thoughts. That's what I call them, because they are persistent, but they're there and they are subconscious. That's where it gets dangerous, when it's coming from the subconscious level and you're not even aware of it. And it's driving your behavior, your decision.
Yeah. Yeah. We like to say that the mice breed. Ooh, so, you know, let's name them. We don't want to kill them. We don't want to trap them even. We just want to discover them, fully name them. And sometimes that's all that's needed just to be expressed. But let's not have them breed, you know, and then ultimately they can start getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you just blow up.
And you have an infestation. Somebody. You have a rat infestation.
And it doesn't feel good for you. And ultimately, it's not going to feel good for the other person. Now, I know it can be awkward to go and name them. I know it. But it's very, very uncomfortable sometimes to not name them.
Yeah. Tell us, how can we find your book? Where can we find your book? How can we connect
you? Yeah, sure. You can go to mouseintheroom.com. And we've already written the mini book. Mm-hmm. We've written the mini book to illustrate the different types of mice. In fact, there are beautiful illustrations. We'll tell you how to name a mouse and we'll tell you when to name a mouse. So you can already go and get that. And, you know, we love contributions towards the production of the book. So, you know, anything you contribute, we'll give you the mini book and we'll use those funds to produce the full book, which is coming out by January 2022. But get the mini book. And if you love the concept, if you believe, as I do, that the world will be a better place if people are identifying their mice in the room and artfully naming them so we can really come into communication, both in the workplace and at home, then please share it. You know, tell people, hey, check out this thing at mouseintheroom.com. They got a mini book already. I think we should have this book in the world. I'd love to see you posting about that kind of stuff.
That's fantastic. That's mouseintheroom.com. Morning enthusiasts, it's been a pleasure. It's been a delight having David Wood here. Such great insight into this new concept. A mouse in the room versus the elephant in the room.
And thank you. Can I offer something as well?
Yeah.
I'd like to offer, if you are a business owner and you are already doing well and you want to do better and you want to go faster and you want to, you know, make some better moves in life and you're interested in how you show up in the world and you think coaching might be a fit for you, go to that same link, mouseintheroom.com, and you'll find coaching in the navigation menu. I'm happy to get on a call with you and see if we're a fit.
Yeah.
I'm not a fit for everyone and not everyone's a fit for me, but if we are, we could do some cool stuff together.
That's fantastic. David, thank you so much for your time and energy this morning. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Well, thank you. I've loved this topic. I think this is exactly what I needed to talk about today. And I got a lot out of it. Thanks.
Awesome.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.